Hello and welcome to the Birdie and Bass podcast, episode 13. I'm Bass and with me is Birdie.
Hi.
And in this episode, we're just going to discuss the leaked and now confirmed Xbox Series S specs and pricing and a few little updates on the Series X that's come out. So Xbox official Twitter has come out and confirmed that the Series S is going to drop for $299 US, so about $400 here in Australia. Interesting sort of specs list that came out. It's all digital. It does 1440p up to 120 frames per second, direct X-ray tracing. It's going to have a custom 512 gigabyte SSD. But due to the fact that 1440p is 2K, they're going to be 4K upscaling for games and streaming media. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. And it's also 60% smaller than a Series X. Well, obviously, they've pulled a whole bunch of stuff out of it and cooling size that's obviously not needed.
Yeah, it's an interesting design. To be honest with you, I mean, they are calling it the smallest Xbox ever built. 60% smaller than a Series X. And like, if you watch the trailer that they put up on Twitter, it easily fits inside a Series X with plenty of room to spare. So they have taken a lot of cooling out of it. And I'm guessing it's because it's definitely not going to be the same system on chip that they're using. Going off the rumors that were circling around before this, like they were saying it was practically an Xbox One S that they just changed the shape of and stuff like that, but it's definitely more powerful than that. It actually more reminds me of a PlayStation 4 Pro, like with the upscaling and everything like that, because that was about as far as they could go with that.
Yeah, I'm more thinking that it's obviously it's technology they've evolved. Maybe it was their first go at doing the new Series X and they were that happy with it. They've maybe used it for the Series S and they've improved their cooling technology. And then the Series X is obviously something that you pushes one step further, and obviously that's got a recommended retail of $499 US or about $650-$700 Australian. So it's definitely coming in at that smaller end of the market. It's going to entice people. I just don't know how the all-digital one's going to go.
Yeah, like listing around with the media and everything like that, there's a lot of people that want to go all-digital, especially with like COVID-19 and everything like that. Digital has taken a massive leap in all sectors, whether it's movies or TV series or gaming. Like, no one wants to go outside to go and get these things anymore. They'd much rather just have it downloaded, which is fair enough. But the design of this thing, just like Kotaku put up a picture of it up against like a front load washing machine, and it's true with the black cooling rail in front of the fan. I don't get why that's a different color. They could have made the whole thing white. But to me, it kind of looks like they've repackaged an Xbox One X and just put extra fans in it and taken out the vapor chamber for cooling. I mean, it's similar kind of specifications to try and get these things. They've loaded the power in a different way.
Yeah, they also, I don't know how this specs on the Series X compared to the One X that currently, or you can't really get at the moment because Xbox have stopped making them.
Oh yeah, well, an Xbox One X has like 6 teraflops of power, whereas a Series X is 12 teraflops. There's a big power difference, but I want to actually know the nitty gritties of what the Series S has, because they didn't really give it away in the trailer. They just said of what it's capable of, which is fair enough. But I would love to see how much power it actually is producing and if there are any differences with memory bandwidth or anything like that with the Velocity architecture, because, I mean, it is a less powerful product. I want to know what kind of speeds we can expect from it, even though they say it's still seamless.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because putting it in at that price point, it's going to make it very
parent-friendly.
Yeah, parent-friendly. So I'm intrigued to see how Sony come back with the all-digital and the normal PS5, whether they're not going to bother trying to compete with the Series S, because I think the all-digital PS5 is still the same spec as the CD one, so the disc one. So I'm just intrigued. Actually, the biggest thing I'm intrigued for is how, but Microsoft don't actually tell us the sales numbers, so I don't know what we're going to do being able to see actually how well these sells.
Well, to be honest, like Microsoft don't really seem to be worried about how many consoles they sell. We could probably get localized data around Australia just from brick and mortar stores and stuff like that. It gets really hard trying to get the type of information from Amazon resellers and things like that. That's an issue. But I mean, like I've spent a decade in retail management. I can already tell what places like JB Hi-Fi and EB Games, what their senior marketing managers are going to be telling their store managers to say to customers as they're walking through the door, just to push these things out at the door. And it's literally going to be, oh, did you want to pay for discs? Oh, yeah, so if you get the more expensive one, it has a disc in there, so that way you can come back, get games from us, trade them in when you don't want them, and our games are typically cheaper than digital anyway. Which sometimes is true. Other times it's a big load of bullshit.
Because I was just going to say, over the last month, 6 weeks or whatever, I've been noticing that the packs you can get buying games digitally are starting to actually become better value than going and buying a physical copy.
Oh, yeah. They've definitely learned a lot in the past 6 months. They want it to be an all digital future. Me personally, if the Series S and the Series X were the exact same specifications and the only difference was a disc drive, I'd still get one with a disc drive for the simple fact I like having a 4K Blu-ray player in my house. I have lots of discs and things like that. And on the off chance that a game is like $50 cheaper as a hard copy, I'd rather go and buy that.
Yeah, and then there's also the collector's edition packs where you're always going to get a physical copy of the game.
Yeah, unless they do what Microsoft did with Halo 5 and give you the legendary collector's edition and it doesn't give you a fucking disc.
Which, in fairness, I'm not too fussed with sort of thing. If they actually gave me a collector's edition, which had all the statue or whatever, all the pack that came with it, and then they gave me a code to download the game separately, I wouldn't mind that, because you could be that type of person where you can actually keep the collector's pack together, even sealed, and have it displayed, and then you've still got your copy of your game. Like, I've seen people that buy collector's editions and then buy the actual game separately, or buy like a digital copy of the game so they don't have to open the collector's pack.
I used to have regular customers do that on multiple occasions. They would pre-order a collector's edition and then get their partner to pre-order a collector's edition, and they'd also pre-order a standard edition because that's the one they were going to play.
Yeah.
Which is a cool idea, but that's a lot of fucking money for one. And so, like, I think when Microsoft did the whole Halo 5 thing, It could have worked great in America. I didn't hear any complaints or anything like that. Around in Australia, though, the internet is not great. It was even worse back then. That game was like an 80 gig download on day one. It was literally going to take more than 24 hours to download for most people buying the game. So we were giving away free copies of the disc to everyone who pre-ordered a collector's edition, which didn't cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But the other side of it is when you actually get a new game these days, it's on a disc and you put it in there. It's interesting to see, like, it actually gives you the file size that's loading off the disk and the file size that's loading off the internet. And I'd have to say 75% of the time, like half the game or three quarters of the game is coming from online. The disk is just an installer.
Yeah, it's just a boot disk.
App sort of thing. There's not actually much on it. So that's where I'm starting to wonder, like, unless you're doing collector's editions, what is the point? The only reason I look at buying physical copies sometimes is because you can get it $40 cheaper on the day it opens on a physical disc than you can buying it online.
Yeah. And that's fair enough. Like, for nowadays, if they brought out Halo 5 collector's edition now like that, I don't think they would have an issue. They would not be giving away hard copies. Back then, it was just the wrong time. Now it's an actual thing. People are more used to it now. Back then, it was a bit of a culture shock, and no one was happy about it. But, I mean, if they brought out Halo 5 now, I could guarantee you the game would not be on the disc. It would all be a download, and that would literally be an installer.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly how it'd be at the moment.
That's what I'm expecting for Halo Infinite, to be honest. You got to remember, Halo 5 came out, what, 2014?
Yeah.
No, it was 2015, sorry. Yeah, it was 2015 it came out. So the console had been out for 2 years. People were already complaining with how much internet it needed to begin with, and then that freaking came out.
Yeah, then you're now seeing all these new consoles are pushing more and more towards reliable internet connections and
it's become an everyday thing now for the community of gamers and, you know, even casual gamers and things like that. I mean, these days, if you have a mobile phone and you don't have internet, you practically can't have a mobile phone.
Or you gotta have a large data cap on your mobile phone.
Exactly.
But the other side of it is, I think the whole driving point for the internet, especially in Australia, has been Netflix. As soon as Netflix was announced in Australia, and I think the first month it just crippled the internet in Australia because so many people were jumping on board on it.
Oh yeah, they had to build new server farms for it.
So I'm thinking that it's just going to be an interesting time when the Xbox, these new Xboxes drop, and you bring them home, and if they've got to do updates on the day or download games or whatever it is, Microsoft are going to hope like hell that their server farms are up to date and got max bandwidth for that day, and the weeks leading up afterwards.
It's funny you mention that, because I was reading an article, I think it was last week, which was like conspiracy theories of why the PlayStation 5 is going to be so limited. And one of them was in very great depth of why they're limiting more consoles day one around the world than others. And they were going off how much the servers could take so it wouldn't crash.
Fair point. Depending on how much bandwidth you got in whatever countries would determine how many consoles you want to release on day one.
Yeah, so there's going to be more consoles in Russia than Australia.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a second big data center being built in Perth at the moment by a company that's got about 7 or 8 data centers around Australia.
Oh, really? That would be nice to play a game with like 10 ping rather than, you know, 60.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let me take a console in there. I think you'd have to have a contract with them where you can go in and use their on-site services, I think, and then you just smuggle a console in while you're there.
Oh, so this is in public domain, like the Google servers or anything like that we use over East for Apex and Call of Duty and that?
No. These are, you can host, like, if you can host your own servers in there, but this is just the actual infrastructure side of things. You've got to provide your own servers, and all they supply is power and a rack.
Okay. So, I mean, what you're saying is, like, Microsoft could buy server space in there.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yep. So it's just one of those ways that they're planning on, or I think they've pretty much done it, is they're planning on were building a whole, between their seven data centers or whatever it is, their own private network around Australia.
That would be something really great to invest in, especially in the day and age that we're coming into with, you know, PCs become faster and faster. Online gaming is becoming literally the biggest thing in the world right now, for the simple fact you can't go out and do real sports. And yeah, it's one of those things, like if you invested heavily in this a few years ago, you'd be laughing right now. One of the very few groups of people that would be.
Yeah, I reckon in the next few years. Well, I seen an article today that was just based around the the large number of places for rent, retail side over east somewhere. I don't know whether it was Sydney or Melbourne or somewhere like that. Had like this, these, like what used to be a bustling retail thing in one of the big cities is just got all these places, retail places, brick and mortar stores that are all available for rent.
Well, everything's closing up now. Everything's going digital. But, honestly, if we had better internet in Australia, I reckon these places would be getting snapped up for like esports teams and content creation teams and stuff like that, just as office space. So they had somewhere to go during the day to actually get this shit done. Kind of like what 100 Thieves did before they had their compound.
Yeah, I'm intrigued that there's not obviously a huge amount of those happening at the moment. There was a few years back it took off, and then it seemed to scaled back now. I guess it's one of the downsides of living in Australia when you most of it is based in America and you got to deal with 200 ping to play any game or be in any tournaments.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an annoyance, but I mean, it could still happen here, honestly, if you had a team that worked well together. Look at what's that gamer bar that just opened up over east, like 2 weeks before COVID hit in Melbourne?
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
I can't believe they're still open. Like, that would have been the biggest business hit to their business ever. They literally opened 2 weeks later. They had to shut up shop because, well, COVID hit, everything was in lockdown. But they're continuing to make money by doing small sessions when they're allowed to, and also doing online tournaments through Warzone and stuff like that, and just giving away prizes, and there's just a small entry fee and you do it online.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm hoping we can start seeing more and more of. I'd love to see Microsoft develop that on their infrastructure, is the ability for us or for consoles to break away from PC players and being able to do console-only tournaments and stuff like that. Because all the tournaments I'm seeing is just PC players and they're either playing mouse and keyboard or plugging controllers into their PC.
But yeah, it would be nice to have a little bit more console recognition. I mean, there's some amazing players on console, and the main reason why you see these amazing players going over to PC and plugging controller in is because they can't get into a tournament on console because no one will allow them.
Yet, what is it? CDL, it's played all on PS4s because they sponsor it.
Yes, that's just a multi-billion-dollar thing. And I think that's actually why it's so expensive to get a team in there, is because of all the money behind it.
Yeah. So,
I mean, there's still people playing Claw Grip in the CDL. I can't believe it. I thought that thing was a thing of the past when, like, scuff controllers and that became massive. But there are still people playing Claw, and I don't know how their hands actually function normally.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things, but it just, I'm intrigued that Xbox didn't actually bring out a disc version of the Series S. It sort of limits the market, I reckon, that they're exposing themselves to, because you got all these people that with the One X's that have got disc-based games, you're sort of pretty much telling them they're all, you're not going to be able to play your game unless they're going to bring out an external drive or something like that, with the way of phasing it out like that.
See, I think they've done their marketing very particular, like, they don't want people to give up on their Xbox Ones yet. So that's why they said, like, all the Xbox Series games that come out will still be compatible on the old Xbox Ones. They will still work fine. You can get a disc, put them in, and they'll work. If you're new to Xbox and you don't have any games, then the Series S is a perfect platform, or it's that perfect little platform for, like, when Johnny's parents go into the shops and they want to get the new Xbox for Johnny. And, you know, it's cheap, cheaper than the other Xbox, and they don't have to buy games for it because they can get a bundle pass in there with, like, a year of freaking Game Pass Ultimate, and there's 1,000 games there ready to play. All he's got to do is download the ones he likes.
Yeah.
And I think that's where their marketing is going with that. That's the entry level for people that don't care. And then you got the Series X for the hardcore, and then the early adopters and stuff like that. And then you've got the Xbox One for the people that just like to play games on their Xbox. The new controllers are compatible with it. The new games are going to be compatible with it for the next couple of years. So away you go.
Yeah, it's just, I'm like looking at it now because, like, I've got a Xbox One S that's dying. Well, I think it is. It's just been playing up and being a bit temperamental. But I'm like looking at now, it's the Series S is going to be $400 Australian. Well, the One S, 1 terabyte console at the moment is $399. And I'm looking at that. Well, if I don't want to go and spend the $400 to replace this one, I'd rather buy the newer model, but I'm not going to get a disc drive.
Hmm.
So are we going to see, my only thing is we've got no specs. We don't know how many USB drives are on this thing and whatever else like that. Are we going to be able to plug external CD readers in, DVD readers into these things, or external Blu-ray readers? Because you need it for the Blu-ray games, I'm assuming, to be able to load up games that we already have.
Yeah, I think because they're keeping the Xbox Ones in market, like, I know it's only the S models, they're keeping them in market. I think that's the answer to your question, pretty much, is that's the one you get if you have old Xbox One games that you want to play, if you don't want to upgrade to a Series X or a Series S. And to be honest, like, I keep looking at the trailer for the Series S. It's definitely got a USB port on the front. It will not show me the back at all, but I'm going to guess there's at least two on the back. What I want to know is, does it have the same memory card slot in the back as the Series X?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they just refuse to show the back end of this thing.
Yeah, I think we're just sitting in a bit of limbo at the moment. It's what's supposed to happen. They didn't do their so-called August show they were going to do. We're now in September. They've got rumored early November dropping dates on this, so you've got 2 months. You'd think you'd want to be getting some, like, deadlines out to say, look, we are dropping in the first week of November. Go and do your pre-orders. Or is it back to the fact of they're having logistics issues at the moment?
I don't even know if they're doing logistics issues, to be honest. I think this is, it's okay, it's either a logistics or a manufacturing issue. They will not admit they're not falling behind on manufacturing. They keep on saying there's going to be plenty. PlayStation, on the other hand, are not saying that at all. They say they're going to be very limited. Logistics might become an issue. Yes, to get into other countries like Australia, Japan, wherever, because they want to do a worldwide release. That's fair enough. They get them out the door early enough, which they apparently have. If there's people leaking out, like, boxes with Xbox One, Xbox Series S controllers and stuff like that, that's where all these rumors came from, already in shops. That's ridiculous. That's months ahead to be getting that stuff into shops. I've never seen it that early. So whether they've already planned around the logistics issues and just shipped them out stupid early, fair enough. My main issue is is this a game of cat and mouse between Sony and Microsoft to see who blinks first?
Yep.
It's getting a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I think they need to come out. Well, they've confirmed the pricing now, obviously, because of all that.
Well, they have one console.
Yeah, but I think they need to come out with the whole lot and just say, look, this is when it's going to be. Because obviously, they'd know how much stock they're going to have on that day.
Mm.
They'd be knowing how much they're pushing through the manufacturer now. So to me, they'd be able to just say, look, this is the initial release date. Even if they said, look, there's going to be plenty of stock and we're going to be doing wave after wave after wave afterwards, well, then you know that you just, like anything, you go in there and you put your name down.
Yeah. It's such a cat and mouse game, I think, at this point. Like, it's getting beyond a joke. I can see where Microsoft might be coming from with the simple fact they want Sony's pricing to go first, since Phil Spencer has mentioned before in interviews that he has the full support of Microsoft's financial team behind him with the pricing of this console. So, like, it just makes me wonder, like, do they want PlayStation 5 to announce the price is going to be, let's say, $599 Australian, so $600 Australian, and that might be below what they were thinking for the Series X, but they're like, you know what? Stuff it. Let's beat them. Let's go $499, $500, just completely undercut them, or, you know, something stupid like that, or even match their price, even if they're taking a hit, just so they're competitive on the market. The Xbox One came out in 2013, and it was bundled with a Kinect. You could not get it any other way. It wouldn't even work without the Kinect plugged in. It was $100 more expensive than a PlayStation 4, and it was definitely the slower, less powerful console that had an attachment on it which drained more power from it and made it even more sluggish. I don't think they want to go down that route again.
No, I don't think they would want to either.
I think he's trying literally everything in his power to make sure he hits either on the mark or just below it. Which is going to be very interesting for, like, shops like EB Games, JB Hi-Fi, GameStop, Target, all them trying to get pricing information from their freaking vendors of how much these things are going to cost, what the profit margin is going to be, and what the buy price is going to be. I mean, if they don't know yet, they're screwed. This shit should be sorted months in advance.
Yeah, so they've got nothing at the moment.
At the moment, they would probably have what's called a placeholder pricing cup. I know it's a weird term, but I've seen them in the past where they'll have the recommended retail price for every SKU of the product. So say the Series X and the Series S. And they'll have, if it's this recommended retail price, then this is going to be the buy price from the vendor. This is going to be your profit margin after transport and everything like that. But if it's this recommended retail price, it's going to be this and this and this, and it just plays off the percentages. It's Microsoft that will take the hit, not the retailers or the vendors.
But even the retailers and the vendors aren't confident enough to start taking deposits because they don't even know when it's coming out.
No, I have found out a little bit of information about that as well from a source that will not be named. They actually legally are embargoed not to take any pre-orders, even as a placeholder. Because once upon a time, you could take a placeholder pre-order for a console that was confirmed to be coming out within 2 years. Most places would price it at like $10,000 or something like that. You could put down a $50 deposit, and it was guaranteed it was going to come out in the next 2 years. They've put an embargo against doing that this time. I don't understand why. It's just the information that I've received. But, yeah, it's a bit of a funky thing because it wasn't just Microsoft that did it. It was also Sony that did it. They did it at the same time, and it wasn't one playing off the other.
Okay.
I think they're just trying to cut back on leaks.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything like that. And I've been selling games and consoles for years, so yeah.
I guess the end of the day is we just got to wait and see how the rest of this year plays out.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an issue, but in all honesty, I'm really excited. The way I see it, what are we at the moment? It's the 8th of September. If they don't announce anything by October hitting, I think they've lost their mark. So I'd expect something in the next couple of weeks, especially since this has leaked out now. And even on the official tweet that's confirmed that it's true, they said really soon. I would give it 2 weeks, and there's going to be either an announcement or an actual showcase by Microsoft. And that's if PlayStation doesn't get in first. I'm hoping PlayStation's going to be like by the end of next week. And then Microsoft will pounce with their plan.
Do you reckon because of this leak that might push?
I think that's brought up timelines a bit.
But how do we know this was a leak or it was deliberately done as a ploy?
I don't know, because it came from some unconcerned sources first on Twitter and things like that, and then Xbox just came out and confirmed it. So I think it might have been one of those things that got caught up in between, like sending something to someone within the company and it got leaked out, or somebody did some hacking. Yeah, it's been a little bit hard to pinpoint this leak, actually, to be honest with you, because I had taken a bit of a look around. Yeah, I mean, it's been really hard to detect where this one came from, but that's what I said before when you showed it to me. It was like, well, yeah, it's like there's a little bit of editing going on there and stuff like that. I can't tell if it's official or not. And then you showed me the official Xbox one. I'm like, okay, right. I mean, the first image we saw was definitely edited with the price on and stuff like that. The second one was better from Microsoft themselves. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think somebody just got wind of something and just leaked it out.
Oh, well, I guess we'll soon see as the as this month progresses, I reckon.
I reckon by the time we're sitting down for the next one, we're going to be talking about something officially announced.
We'll leave it at that for the moment. We'll see how the next couple of weeks pan out, and we'll do a follow-up podcast to do our comments, and hopefully we've got some confirmed pricing and release dates.
Yeah, it's just a warning. I might be like at the back of my streaming setup here, just screaming into the microphone from across the room.
Oh, well, we'll just brace everyone and turn the volume down.
See how good the clip guard is in the Elgato Wave 3.
Yeah. Anyways, so hold up. That's all we've got time for at the moment. If you need to get hold of us, our email address is birdiebasepodcast@essentialgamer.com.au. You can catch us on Instagram and Facebook under Essential Gamer AU, or you can just search Essential Gamer on Facebook and we should come up. Essential Gamer AU on Twitter. If you see any more information about the Xboxes, want to tag us in it, feel free so we can get up to date. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.